Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
Starcast, the German football pod, brought to you by The Athletic. In today's episode, we go deep into Bayern v Dortmund, one of the big two's more classic encounters in recent years, a Lewandowski-Haaland shootout with some refereeing controversy to boot. There's also time to look at the storm engulfing Marco Rose at Gladbach, praise Hoffenheim again, and wonder whether RB Leipzig have what it takes to topple in-crisis Liverpool on Wednesday night. All of this and more in Starcast. Hello, dear listener. Hello, Christoph Biermann. And hello, Jasmine Baba, our very special guest today. Before we get going, a quick reminder that all the wonderful content on The Athletic is available for just £3.99 a month for 6 months right now. Go to theathletic.com/StarcastPod to subscribe. Right, Christoph and Jasmine, thank you so much for being on the pod. Jasmine, our special guest today. There's only one game to start with, and that is, of course, Union against Bielefeld. Well, no, we'll do that later. First, Bayern against Dortmund. I think the first thing to say here is that was fun. Fun watching this game. Not a 6-0, not a 5-0, not a 4-0. Very even contest, at least in terms of the result, until the 80th minute or so. And it got me thinking, Christoph, we sometimes say in jest, but maybe giving opponents a two-goal head start is the way forward to have a bit more competitiveness in the Bundesliga.
I think it's a new, entertaining and also cruel at the same time, Bayern, because we've seen it so often during the season. So it was their 13th time where they were at least 1-0 down. Now they're going for the 2-0 down already against Bielefeld, now again against Bayern. But it's still a bit still cat and mouse. So at the end, the mouse is winning and the mouse is defeated, and so
the cat is winning.
Oh, the cat is winning, of course. Sorry to confuse that. Now the cat is winning, and the cruel Bayern cat is. So they pretend to create some suspense during this season, but in the end, the cat will lift the trophy.
Yeah, cat and mouse. It's basically Tom and Jerry in reverse, is what you're trying to say. Yeah. Jasmine, from a tactical point of view, I saw that you wrote a tactical prediction. You said that Bayern would suffer on the counterattack, but that it would come back and ultimately win it. How happy do you feel with your prediction? And more importantly, perhaps, was this a game that could ultimately be explained in tactical terms, or was it really, as Christoph is hinting, a bit of an uneven contest with Bayern always going to be the more likely winner?
I think there's both elements of it. We can predict tactics all day long, but at the end of the day, there are games which completely go against statistical and tactical analysis, and it's happened plenty of times. I mean, I think there's another match this weekend that went against normal logic. But with the quality Bayern have, I think it was always going to be that way. I mean, I got everything. The only thing that I had gotten wrong was how Dortmund was going to set up. I didn't think that they would go with a back five, which actually made sense if with them on the counter in the end. But as I said, it was all Bayern. They let them have this 2-0 lead. Maybe I always thought Dortmund was going to be lead early. They had a similar kind of threat like they did against München Gladbach, and we all saw how that ended up. Another chaotic, fun game. But it was almost too predictable for me this time round. Dortmund have that quality that they didn't have, and I mean world class top of the range quality in Erling Haaland and Jadon Sancho, which they, although have been close to in the past, haven't had the same sort of quality, which I think kind of evened that, the tactical analysis a bit out, or made, just kind of fine-tuned it to more narrative. But Lewandowski is the best player in the world right now, and it doesn't matter what you can do against Bayern. It seems like it always goes their way. Dortmund also have to manage workload. Terzic, bless him, is kind of out of his depth managing here. And he's probably, in that way, he's probably had nothing to lose, which went Dortmund's way. But as I said, you can't compete with that Bayern quality, you know, on all levels.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Dortmund did probably as well as they could have done, both on a tactical sense as well as individual. I mean, you have the same issue that we had in the first time they met. Do you remember the 3-2 defeat when there the big mismatch was Gnabry against Meunier? Now the big mismatch was Coman against Meunier. And I think you can sort of go through the whole 11, and with the exception of Haaland and maybe one or two players, it is a bit unfair, ultimately, for what Bayern can do, especially when you have players like Gnabry on the bench. What I liked about Dortmund in this game is that you couldn't accuse them of not turning up. You couldn't accuse them of not believing in themselves. You couldn't accuse them of not, I think, trying to maximize their potential. And I thought the fact that they were angry with themselves and angry with the referees, of course, as well, with the referee as well, which we can go into in a bit, would suggest to me that there is progress being made, because in recent years, the usual reaction would be one of embarrassment or total resignation. So at least they got to the point where they felt a little bit unlucky and a little bit unhappy with themselves that they gave the goals away so late. Christoph, do you think this is one of those defeats that Dortmund can actually secretly be proud of, almost, or happy with?
I wouldn't say happy, but a bit proud, yes. You rightly mentioned the previous encounters that were ended in embarrassment, frustration, and so on. And this time it wasn't a match of that kind. So, but you could still see how huge the gap in quality is between the two teams on an individual level, and yes, they made most out of it. I mean, they showed up, as you said. They scored two early goals, and in the end they were overwhelmed. And I think as a lot of teams will be overwhelmed in the future by this Bayern team, because you could see what they are capable of if they show up, because they didn't in at least the first 15 minutes, as they so often did in this season. But yes, I think they went home frustrated in a way because of the late goals, because towards the end they probably got the feeling that they get away with the point somehow. Luckily, I mean, Bayern had 25 shots, Dortmund had 4. I mean, just to look at these straight simple numbers. So yes, it was an okay performance, but we will see how much it's worth on Tuesday against, in the second leg against Sevilla. If they go through to the next round, I think that will be a fantastic achievement. And then in weeks to come, to narrow the gap to qualify again for the Champions League. But overall, you were criticizing me for being too cautious about Borussia Dortmund last week. In a way, I'm more optimistic for them after this week than 7 days back.
Me too. That's my main takeaway. I wrote about this game in The Athletic, and my main line was Dortmund were clearly second best, but that is actually good news. Before that, they were maybe fourth or fifth best. Now we can see that Dortmund are, even with Leipzig in the mix, the second best team in Germany by quite a distance. And we should mention that they did so without Manuel Akanji, Jadon Sancho, Gio Reyna, Axel Witsel. Did I forget anyone? I think those four are the main ones. So, and Rafa Guerrero. So I think we have to give them quite a lot of credit, the way that they approached things. Before we move on to Bayern, just one more word on Dortmund. Jasmine, do you share mine and Christoph's optimism that we see now the real Dortmund, in inverted commas, coming back and reassert themselves and maybe play the kind of football that we expect? As you said before, Dortmund are in a unique position where they have some absolute superstar talent up front combining, which is probably not going to last. So if they are to maximize that, it has to really happen, I guess, this season. And it can happen with going pretty deep in the Champions League, with winning the German Cup, where it make them favorites just ahead of Leipzig. Will now Dortmund just be what they can be, and don't have to talk about them somehow falling short again, or being, you know, this weird team that doesn't sometimes turn up, it doesn't have the right mentality?
I think it was not the worst week for them, especially in terms of other results. Eintracht Frankfurt drew again, Wolfsburg obviously lost. However, they seem to always show up in the big games, and they've still got quite a few non-big games that they'll need to play. And there's also the added expectation to, especially with their recent suspensions and injuries, to manage workload across the DFB Pokal, across the Champions League. That's a lot for a quite young team. And although optimistic that they'll finish in the Europa League, I think Champions League still might be a bit too far for them. With the other teams around them slipping up, I would like to see how consistent everyone else can be. There's something about Dortmund that just lack that extra edge in the middle of the road teams where they play a low block.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. But we have to pay a bit of respect to Bayern, I guess, as well. And Christoph, you said they're entertaining, very cruel. They're the cat that plays with the mouse and then just decapitates it right at the end. However, Bayern are not quite the same Bayern we saw last year. There is weakness there. There is some kind of tactical deficit or problems that you can manifest themselves. There was a very interesting graphic. I don't know if you both saw it, but somebody crunched the numbers, and of all the teams in the top five, Bayern basically had the most situations where their defense is just completely left behind and there's players running towards Manuel Neuer's goal. The second most breached team with the high line was Liverpool. Now, with Liverpool, we've seen the results of that. Bayern have coped a lot better. Is this something that we just have to take because we know this is intrinsic in Flick's game, and while they can't do it perfectly, the alternative of changing is still worse and they just have to do it sort of at 80% and hope for the best? Or do they really need to show up if they are going to repeat the same performances, especially in the Champions League, where there's going to be better teams? Jasmine, what do you think?
Oh, I think Champions League, there's a few better structured teams to beat them. They leave that high line a few too many times. It was breached last season by Barcelona, again with the cat fully decapitating the mouse once again in that game too. But a better organised team can take advantage of that, and I don't think they are the strongest in the Champions League anymore. I'm thinking if they meet Man City, for example, I think Pep Guardiola would have their cards marked. In terms of the Bundesliga, it's obviously a bit more tight, and I think they can get away with relying on playing over other press, just have that amount of quality, as we've mentioned, to just take on the other teams in the Bundesliga. But I'm in the Champions League, I'm not convinced.
I agree and I disagree. I agree on the part of the Bundesliga, because I think this deficit that we've seen, we will see it towards the end of the season, and in the end they will win it and run away with the title. And yes, they will face severe problems in the Champions League if they meet Man City. because I think Man City is probably right now the best team in the world. And Bayern is probably the second best. So if they meet in the next round or if they meet before the final, there's a fair chance that Bayern goes out. I think even with the deficits we've seen, we've been seeing all over the season, they will be able to squeeze through to the final. I would be very optimistic about them because they are also able to concentrate on certain games. So as we have seen when they were playing at Lazio, I mean Lazio is not probably not one of the best teams in Europe right now, but they showed up and played them out of their own stadium and then went home. And so they able to do that and as well. So yeah,
I get goosebumps when you talk about Bayern in this way. Thank you so much. From someone who's so cautious, usually cautious, Christoph. Thank you. That feels nice. I want to say one more thing about this game, and then we really should move on. If you told me before those 90 minutes that one of the key moments of the game would be Leroy Sané muscling Emre Can off the ball and the referee being very lenient, I wouldn't have believed it. There's a couple of things to unpack here. First of all, Leroy Sané actually I thought had a really good game, one of his best games for Bayern. He really showed up. And the idea that this could have been a foul and that Dortmund were a little bit unlucky, and perhaps more seriously, that Bayern tend to get these decisions because of their structural advantage of being such a the biggest team. Where do you want to start with this? Jasmine, take your pick. Leroy Sané or the refereeing decisions?
I always kind of gloss over referee decisions. So Leroy Sané, I think it was kind of a surprise to see him start, especially with Serge Gnabry on the bench. But I think he's starting to get what Hansi Flick's doing with the Bayern team and actually progressing with that. I think there's been times where his attitude especially has been called into question. And again, it was one of those games where you can't criticise him or his attitude. I think he's just struggled as of late to fit into another high-pressure team and not always be first choice. Being competitive to get your players can be difficult sometimes. And I think the kind of question over Sané's attitude can be a little bit exaggerated. We've seen what he can do. He's not ended up at the top level teams for no reason. So I think I don't feel like referees are particularly lenient. I don't think it was a clear and obvious error either. And by the end of the match, I think the better team won, and that's kind of a moot point to go over.
Christoph, on the refereeing thing, one more thought. It was interesting, I think, to hear both Thomas Müller and I think there was another player basically saying, well, it's good that this isn't a foul. We should allow a bit more. We should perhaps, even though it was sort of unsaid, be a bit more like the Premier League. And Manuel Gräfe was mentioned for being quite a relaxed, laissez-faire type referee. Marco Fritz tried his best. I think actually that there's a real point here that being a little bit more lenient helped the game and would help the Bundesliga on the whole.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I think Manuel Gräfe especially is the best referee in Germany. And he is the best referee because he is able to find the line between being let the game go, but don't let the game go out of hand. And that's difficult. It's really difficult. And you need a lot of experience and you need a lot of personality. Because if you're too lenient and you're not experienced enough, it can be a fight can break out 5 minutes later or so, and then you have a game that is not a football match anymore but a fight. And so the general advice is good, but you as a referee you have to know how to handle it, and I think it wasn't a foul, or it could have been a foul, but in the context of this match, this particular match, it was okay to let it go, and seriously, I mean, Bayern scored 15 seconds later. So there was no counter attack. So they didn't get the ball, or they lost the ball, Borussia Dortmund. But they had plenty of opportunity to organize themselves against the ball. So that they lost because of this foul, I think, is a complete misinterpretation of what was going on.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer, if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Okay, so Bayern back on top of 55 points after that win. In the big game against Dortmund, don't really call it their Klassiker, at least we don't do in Germany, but feel free if you want to. Leipzig, they were top of the table for a couple of hours on Saturday, courtesy of a 3-0 win away to Freiburg, which was pretty impressive considering that Freiburg tend to make life difficult for absolutely everyone who goes there, especially with a game against Liverpool coming up in the Champions League. Jasmine, how much credit do you give Leipzig, or should I say, how much hope do you have for Leipzig that they can A, somehow reel in Bayern, and B, overturn that 2-0 defeat from the first leg against Liverpool?
I think the lucky thing for Leipzig, it's an amazing time to play Liverpool right now, especially...
That's what they thought last time.
Yeah, that's what they thought last time, and now here we are with a 2-0 deficit to overturn, which is why I'm not very optimistic for Leipzig. I think their chances within other games compared to this one is just far too big. Everyone expects Bayern to... maybe not expect. We know that everyone looks at Bayern thinking they could really mess up this time and then never do, which there's a realistic chance of that happening once again. But Leipzig are in favourable positions, especially in DFB Pokal. Dortmund obviously have Holstein Kiel to play, which won't be easy for them. So there's a realistic chance that Leipzig have DFB Pokal to win. They're only 2 points off Bayern with not the easiest end of run-ins, but a doable run-in compared to Bayern. And I think although that they will try and really come out against Liverpool, I think Liverpool don't really have to do much to get a draw and knock them out. And I don't think Leipzig will be too unhappy with that, especially with how the first leg went.
Leipzig won't be unhappy with being knocked out?
Oh, maybe not. They'll be unhappy, but I think they'll be more realistic about being knocked out, especially with how the first leg went. I mean, Liverpool, although I use this term kind of brazenly, in chaos, they still won the Champions League not so long ago. They're domestic champions. They know how to close out results. Despite not domestically, they can still do it in the European competition. And I think Leipzig are better situated in other situations to put their energy elsewhere. Not saying they won't, but I think they will manage their expectation in this game, in the Champions League game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Christoph, a team that wins 3-0 against Freiburg can win 3-0 against Liverpool in Budapest, no?
Yeah, huge disadvantage. They are not allowed to go to Anfield. So.
Yeah, that is a disadvantage.
But I think it's a way too long or a mountain too high to climb this 2-0 deficit. And Leipzig is a team this season who is the contender for Bayern. And games like that in Freiburg show it. And At least we have a striker found for Leipzig, because Alexander Sørloth, who looked so long desperate, he looks now like that he have settled in the team, feels comfortable, creating goals, scoring goals. So and I think this will help Leipzig a lot, because it was a kind of vacant job for a long while.
Yeah, there was definitely a vacancy. I'm still not sure that he is the solution, but he perhaps is no longer the problem, which is some progress. He does look happier. There was a very interesting part of the conversation between Nagelsmann and Klopp. I don't know if you saw that the rights holders had before the Champions League game. They were talking to each other, and I think it was Nagelsmann who made the point, or maybe Klopp, or certainly both of them, that integrating new signings this season has proved really, really difficult, because you're not sharing the dressing room. You cannot have any social occasions. You can't even eat together properly. And maybe that was part of the reason why he's looked such a isolated figure at times in this team. Also, I think the re-emergence of Wang is actually something we should note, because he was not a factor for the first half of the season. Injuries and then a pretty bad COVID-19 infection kept him out of the side, but he's actually looked really strong, I felt, in the last few games, and is another slightly more direct player that they have up front, who makes a bit of a difference from all the little false nines and sort of attacking midfielders that play through the middle. So yeah, I think Leipzig will give it a go. Whether it's enough against Liverpool, I'm also not sure. But I think in the league, Bayern are still not home and dry just yet, because Leipzig-Bayern is coming up in a couple of weeks' time. Jasmine, as you said, Wolfsburg and Frankfurt, who are Dortmund's rivals for that third and fourth spot, both slipped up. Wolfsburg with a 2-1 defeat against Hoffenheim. And very presciently, of course, Christoph Biermann was telling us all last week to watch out for Hoffe, because here they come. And they've done something quite remarkable, because not many teams tend to beat Wolfsburg in the Bundesliga this season. They've done it. I don't know how much you saw of that game. Jasmine, you're nodding. I'll come to you then. What did Hoffenheim do so well? Or was it a case of Wolfsburg just not being quite at the similar levels?
I think Wolfsburg have kind of struggled as of late. They had a very tough midweek game against RB Leipzig in the DFB Pokal, which they went out of 2-0. And I think a lot of that match made them a little bit more unlucky. They looked a little bit sloppy up front. There was a fantastic chance for Wout Weghorst, who's done so well yet again this season, to be Wolfsburg's main man. Missed a very good chance for them in the start of the second half, and that would have at least got them level. Who knows if they scored at that point, if it would still play out as a draw, or win, loss, but it would have put them in a very better position than what actually happened. If you look at chances created and XG, Wolfsburg were a little bit unlucky on that as well, mainly because of that Weghorst chance. They still held Hoffenheim to 0.99 XG, and, you know, they've had 6 clean sheets in the Bundesliga, 7 before that match. So I think it's not anything to really worry about. Hoeneß is a good manager. Hoffenheim do have a good all-rounded team. They have surprised with results in the past, so it wasn't a complete surprise. I think it was just the toll and workload for another team, for Wolfsburg. And however, it's just a little bit harder for them for that Octavio red card. It's an amazing
It's a wonderful
challenge.
Tackle.
It's absolutely awful. Not sure what was going on in his head. But luckily for Wolfsburg's fans, their next three games are a lot easier than Eintracht Frankfurt. So they should get back on track.
As a VfL Bochum fan, Christoph, this is the sort of tackle that you can get behind, yeah?
old school. So people who are a bit older can remember that fouls like that were, I mean, you could see it several times over a weekend in the 70s.
Yeah, maybe a yellow card, maybe.
Yeah, but because the referee was so such a weak figure. So no, I don't know what the English equivalent for murder foul is.
I think we understand. I think we understand what that means.
It was nice to see it again, like coming back from the past. But it was only nice to see because nobody was injured. So because easily with this kind of tacklings, you can end careers if it goes wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Starkas does not condone this kind of tackle. So don't try that at home, kids.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Two more games I think we have to mention. Briefly, perhaps, the first one, Stuttgart getting a draw against Frankfurt. Another great result for Stuttgart, who are doing so well in ninth position. Perhaps even unlucky not to be involved in the Europa League fight, because they've been really performing, I think, well and above expectations, at least from neutrals' point of view. I mentioned them because we were very lucky to get an interview with Sven Mislintat, the sporting director, which will be out later this week. He very kindly gave me 2 hours of his time for reasons that I don't want to go into at this point. He talks a lot about Stuttgart's renaissance from Bundesliga 2 all the way to a very, very decent team with very interesting players and a very interesting manager in Pellegrino Matarazzo. So go and check that out when it's out. But I think we have to go on a bit of a down note, and that down note is, of course, Borussia Mönchengladbach's rapid descent. Another game that didn't go according to plan. This was the big crisis shootout between Marco Rose's Gladbach and Bayer Leverkusen's Peter Bosch. Leverkusen edged at 1-0. Gladbach maybe a little bit unlucky, just as they were in the cup game against Dortmund, where they did sort of okay, but something isn't quite there. Jasmine, for a team that played so well last year and that started so well in the Champions League, and we saw the best of Gladbach in the Champions League this year, is it possible to explain their regression by way of looking at it in a technical way? Or do you think this has to do with the intangibles, with a team perhaps no longer being quite as happy with the situation about Marco Rose and all these things? Where can we find, you know, a way to explain what's happened to them?
With the COVID suspension last year, I think it gave everyone, actually, even before the COVID suspension, I would say Gladbach were better before the COVID suspension, and then kind of got hammered in the when they came back to playing Bundesliga, because they only really ended up in the Champions League places because everyone else started to mess up around them. They weren't extremely good towards the end of last season compared to where they were beforehand. So it kind of suggests a slight overperformance on their bit. And then what you've had this season is just people slightly finding out their tactics, the kind of counter-attack, high-intensity runs that you normally get from their front players, from Neuhaus, from Stindl, from Thuram, Player. That's kind of been found out. Player and Thuram only have 3 and 4 goals, 7 goals between them compared to, I think it was 20 last season. They're relying on a 32-year-old Lars Stindl to make these high-pressure runs into the box. He's their biggest, their top goal scorer. You can't rely on someone that often. He still fits the fiddle and quick as one, but it's only so much he can do. So you can see kind of peak players dropping, as well as the massive elephant in the room. It's no real surprise that their statistics have started to decrease, especially in terms of XG, and then their XGA, expected goals allowed, have gone up since the kind of cloud over them about Rosa going to Dortmund. It's been a really weird way the club has handled the whole news breaking out. There's reports of players not exactly revolting against Rosa, but not exactly taking what he says. I think at the moment they're all playing for themselves rather than him or the club. There was reports of Zakaria not really getting along with Rosa, not extending his contract before the Dortmund news. And right now, it's just everyone looking to see, will Eberl sack him or suspend him until the end of the season and bring up their Mönchengladbach 2 coach up? Because right now, they haven't won in 6 games in the Bundesliga, 7 in all competitions, and all their stats suggest that they are where they should be right now.
Christoph, how do you explain this mess, and how can they get out of it before the season's over? If at all.
I think what Jasmine said, if you take it from there that the numbers are declining in recent weeks, I think one of the reasons, when you look at the reasons, you have to look a bit back at the first half of the season, or when they had this extra load coming from the Champions League, a happy load, because it was their aim to go. They survived a very difficult group and so on. But on their way, they lost a lot of points, and also this year, they lost at home against Cologne. They lost at home against Mainz. They lost at home against Hoffenheim. These were crucial matches that took them in a situation right now where they have important games like Leverkusen or Dortmund, and they are a bit less able to play their game than they were before. But there is this huge black cloud of the whole Rosa story about the club. I think it's not so much within the team. I think most of the players still they were fascinated for a long time by their manager, and I think they still think he is a very good coach. But the overall atmosphere around Borussia Mönchengladbach is very special. So in all the years I've been following them, I can't remember such a negative atmosphere towards one person. There have been open letters, there have been banners. I mean, and I don't talk about this social media outrage. So people actually sit down, bring up a lot of arguments against Marco Rose. So if you would see him as a politician, you would say he has completely lost his voters. So I think not everybody at Borussia Mönchengladbach, not every Borussia Mönchengladbach fan is against him. But it's really almost fascinating looking from outside how much negative energy is coming from that. And you were asking for a solution. I don't have it, but I wouldn't surprised if things go, especially when they maybe next week have a bad defeat, not against such a strong team, that in the end, Max Eberl doesn't have a chance, and he has to sack Marco Rose and his team.
Well, they're in action on Friday again against Augsburg.
Yeah, so that's a I mean, to say Augsburg against Borussia Mönchengladbach is a crucial game. It is.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. Thank you very much, Christoph and Jasmine. Thank you, dear listener. For those of you who perhaps saw us on Zoom today, you would have seen the magnificent wall of books behind Christoph Biermann. And I cannot help myself but have to ask him, Christoph, how many of those books didn't you yourself write?
Most of them. But some of them back there are written by you.
Yeah, well, I think the majority are yours. Thank you so much. And we'll see you and hear you, or you us rather, next week again. Bye-bye.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.